Good afternoon. Today's date is December the 4th, 2023. The message today is healing, the healing virtue of Jesus Christ. And I will be expounding also on the Word of God. On behalf of the authority of the keys to the kingdom. To give is Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, 9th through the 10th verse. Testimony, Revelation, the 12th chapter, 11th verse. Holy Scriptures, Matthew, the 16th chapter, 14 through the 19th verse. Mark, the 2nd chapter, 1st through the 5th verse. Mark, the 5th chapter, 21 through the 33rd verse. I want to talk about the authority that the body of Jesus Christ was given to live a holiness life. So the teaching is holiness according to the authority that was given unto the chosen of Jesus Christ for the living word of Jesus Christ for prophecy. So I will be teaching holiness according to the four gospels, one of which is Matthew, the next one is Mark, the next one is Luke, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and also all 23 books of the apostolic work, which was produced by the apostles. So I want to be talking here briefly with you, just teaching briefly, won't hold you long. Just teaching briefly here on behalf of the authority that we have, which is a promise. This is one of the promises, which is healing, the healing virtue of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ have the authority to work with a man or a woman on behalf of the gift of healing. I also want to talk about the authority that was given unto the apostles to utilize the keys of the kingdom. This authority was given to the apostles, one of which was Peter. The apostle that Jesus Christ gave authority to handle the keys. So when and if Peter utilized this part of his faith, then Peter have authority to open up the kingdom of heaven he have the authority to loose, and also he have the authority to bind. So many I know have used these keys, and they use them according to the flesh. Our Heavenly Father did not give them any authority to work with the keys. So what did they do? They confused and they tied up their spirit and caused themselves to be in a place where they could not grow. So I want to start here working with Matthew 16 chapter, starting at the 14th verse. And they said, some say that, I want to go up a little bit further. No. I'm going to start here at the 14th verse. And they said, some say that thou art the Baptist, and I'm going to start off reading this again. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Fifteen verse, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? This is Jesus Christ speaking to the apostles. Because it's important to know whom and who the leader is. Who is the leader that is there? And where did the leader come from? That is very important. So Jesus Christ is here asking the apostles, whom do you say that I am? Because he wants to be sure that they know who he is. Who he is. So that when they're working, they can work as accurately and as right as possible. We have authority in the Word of God to live a holiness life. But if no teaching, if there is no one there to explain what to do, then we don't know how to go about that level of living. I also want to, I did want to start with the scripture, but I'm not going to start right now. I'm changing around. I'm going to change around here. I want to give the definition of some holy words. It's important for us to understand these holy words so that we can grasp and understand the word of God when the teacher is working. Okay, the first holy word I want to talk about is sin. It is in the Holy Bible on behalf of sin. Sin is a noun, N-O-U-N, which is defined as transgression against the laws of faith and of Christ. However, we can often sin against one another, and that is still a transgression against Christ, meaning an act that a man or a woman composed in his or her heart and decided that they were going to perform an evil act or some evil action that is sin, meaning that that person is getting ready to transgress against a person's will and do something wrong to them. So when we do it wrong to one another, we also sin against Jesus Christ, our Savior. The word quicken is a verb. This word is defined as make alive or revive. Grace, this word is a noun, and this word is defined as approval, a favor, a privilege. So our Heavenly Father, we are saved by grace, meaning that Jesus Christ approved us. He favored us, and he gave us a privilege to do what? To live. Pardon. Pardon, P-A-R-D-O-N, is a verb. This word is defined as forgiven. Forgiven for what? Forgiven for one's sin. The next word, redemption. Redemption is defined as a ransom when it is said that the Son of Man gave his life a ransom for many. So I want to read here. That's Ephesians, the first chapter and the seventh verse. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Eighth verse, wherein he hath abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So, that is the definition for the word redemption. We need to understand these holy words because these words are words which is contained in holiness. So, moving forward, fault, F-A-U-L-T. The word fault is a verb, and this word is defined as blame. Well, those of us whom the Lord have developed in his word for his life, which is a holy life, then we can still have faults, meaning we need to continue in repentance. We need to continue to repent because we are on the earth in the flesh. And we have an adversary on the earth whom is there to destroy. So the fact that we have faults, if we do transgress a brother or a sister or a spouse or whomever it is that we may do something wrong to or something evil, well, that can be a fault. So at that time, we need to repent and ask the person that we transgress against to forgive us. Also, we need to go before the Lord by way of faith and prayer and ask the Lord to forgive us, ask our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us for whatever fault that we produce during the course of that knowledge that we put forth against someone. That's a fault. Prudence, P-R-U-D-E-N-C-E. That word is a noun, N-O-U-N. It is defined as the ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason. So, we do need self-control. Self-control is key. Self-control should be our number one priority at all times. But why? Because we want to live within reason. We don't want to be outside of reason, and also we want to make proper standards on behalf of our thinking process. We have authority in the Word of God to live, but many don't understand that because they had no one there to lead and guide them and teach them on behalf of that level of living. We have freedom. We have a status called freedom in America. The fact that we have freedom, we need to have standards. We need structure. If we are free, and since we are free, not if, but since we are free, then what we need is to understand structure. Structure is defined as rules. Those of us who are called of Jesus Christ, since we are called of Jesus Christ, since we're called of Jesus Christ, we need structure, meaning we need to understand the laws of faith. The laws of faith is defined as when Jesus Christ speak a word heart to heart to each of us, we are to perform that word. we are always to answer and obey or accept the word of Jesus Christ when he speaks a word to our heart. Why is that? That the answer to that question is that because Jesus Christ is the person who have produced our life in his word so that we can live. So many don't understand what is the word prophecy. How is that defined? The word prophecy is defined when Jesus Christ speak a word to one's heart and they perform it. We are obligated at all times to make the right decision, make the right decision in our heart to accept a word from Jesus Christ when he is speaking that word to us. Otherwise, we can't develop the life of holiness. The life of holiness is prophecy. That life is prophecy. So the four gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that work is contained in prophecy, which gives us authority when the Lord confirm his word, when he's speaking a word to a prophet or prophetess heart, or when he's speaking a word to his people, when the Lord is speaking a word, then that is a command. Well, if we decide that we're not going to respond when Jesus Christ speak a word to our heart, if we decide we're not going to apply that word to our heart and to perform that word and put that word in progress, well, that level of our decision develops what sin, that's transgression, that's transgressing against the faith. Many don't understand that, but that is what that is doing. Now, we do have freedom in America to make whatever decision that we want to make. So we need to understand what we are doing when we reject or resist prophecy, when we resist the Lord speaking a word to us. If the Lord speak a word to me, I want to use this statement as a example. When the Lord speak a word to me, if he tell me to go left on such a street, if he tell me to go left on a particular street in a particular location, and I go right, well, that is transgressing against the laws of faith. Therefore, I cannot develop the life of holiness, because the work that Jesus did in all four gospels is doctrine. Doctrine is defined as teachings. Teachings. Also, in all 23 books of the apostolic work, that work is teachings. So if we decide we are not going to comply our heart and our ears when the Lord speak a word, when I say ears, that is because our Heavenly Father gave us a privilege called faith. Faith come by hearing of the word of God. By whom? By whomever the teacher or the prophet or prophetess or pastor or apostle are. Jesus Christ is the chief apostle. He's the one that was called in a place called the apostle. He's also called in a place called the Son of God. So you have more than one. That's not a career. That is a command from our Heavenly Father, whereas Jesus Christ have been given work to do. So we are responsible when our Lord Jesus Christ give us a word. When he gives us a word, that word is given unto us for us to hear it and apply it to our practice and to our heart. When we receive it and apply it and make that word applicable and put that word in action in our life, then we can live. If we hear the word of Jesus Christ and we will not accept it or receive it and put that word into proper action, then we have resisted the word of life from Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Many don't understand that. So we need to understand how to think with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We learn how to think with our Lord Jesus Christ according to who's in front of us in the Word of God, if they are called of Christ and qualified by other leaders as well, so as Jesus Christ. So we have a responsibility when the Lord speaks to our heart. If he speaks a word to your heart by a leader, a teacher, or a pastor, or a prophet, or an evangelist, if he speaks a word directly to your heart or my heart, then I am responsible for performing that very word. Why? So that I can develop the life of holiness. The work of holiness is there, but if we don't have leaders there to inform us and reach out to us and give us a word as our Heavenly Father by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost is defined as the same word. So many miss Christ, miss the meaning that they did not receive of his word for whatever reason. So if you have a leader in standing before you, leading and guiding and prophesizing, the work of holiness is prophecy, meaning that we have the authority to believe and follow Jesus Christ as he speaks through a man or a woman's heart and give us guide. The next word I want to talk about and give a definition of is advocate. Advocate. Advocate, that word is a noun, and that word is defined as one who pleads another's cause, or one who helps another by defending or comforting him or her. So we have Jesus Christ there to comfort us. So we want to know all the definitions of these words so we'll understand how to apply the word of God. I am teaching, I do all the studying, and I give all of the definition of all the words. Holiness. Holiness is a noun. That word is a noun, which is a term. Holiness is a term. Holiness is defined as prophecy. Prophecy, meaning when Jesus Christ speaks and he composed a work, then that work is to be honored and respected as the authority of prophecy, in which we have those of us who believe in his word, we have authority to live by. That is for God, that's our four gospel. And on the side of the four gospels is the 23 books of the apostles' work. Reconciliation. The word reconciliation is a noun, which is defined as an acceptance, meaning that we have been accepted by Jesus Christ, those of us whom he have called and chosen. He chose us, we didn't choose him. So we ought to understand the meaning and the definition of all these holy words, because these are words that is produced by Jesus Christ through the work of the gospel. Many think that the life of holiness cannot be lived. That is because they have no teachers, no teachers who are called, qualified, trained, and given a work to do to teach others. Jesus Christ also had the gift to teach. He's the apostle, the pastor, the teacher. He has five offices here that he works with. He works with the apostles' office, the teacher, the pastor, the evangelist, and the prophet. Also the prophetess. There's still just five offices, but I named the prophetess because there are two genders. One is male and the other one is female. So we have a powerful life here. And we have a life here that Jesus Christ have already worked. The work is already done. However, we need proper leadership. What is a holy leader? A holy leader is one whom our Lord Jesus Christ have chosen. He chose holy leaders and gave them what? An assignment to go out and do what? A work. That is holiness. Reconciliation. Jesus Christ reconciled the church. He accepted us. How? By his grace. Okay, the word anchor. We have an anchor in the word of God. Excuse me. Anchor, that is a verb. Anchor. So the word anchor is a verb, as in fasten, F-A-S-T-E-N, to put securely in place or in a desired position. So we have an anchor in the word of Christ, Why? Because we're chosen and we have authority when we obey Jesus Christ with a man, within a man or woman's heart, when they speak, if the Lord spoke it. Leadership. Leadership is key. So we want to always make sure that leaders are whom they say they are, and also whom they should be. So we want to make sure that those leaders are exactly whom they say they are. Leaders of Christ, we want to make sure they are not going to do us any wrong or any harm. Because we're in America where sin is. So we have two standards here. We have one for faith in America and the other for religion. Well, we have freedom, but we don't have effective laws where we can always prove a leader. Every leader must be proven. How do we prove a holy leader? We prove a holy leader by seeking the Lord and asking the Lord to give us understanding of their character and heart and their intent. Why? Because we have religion in America. We have religion. We have that privilege. That's supposed to be a faith privilege. But we have the good and the evil mixed in. So since we have those two kind of leaders there, well, we need to have definite proof of each leader that stands in front of us and tell us that they are prophesizing to us a life called holiness. And it's very simple. If we go before the Lord, we ask the Lord to give us understanding. Is this the kind of leader that he would have us to follow? And is this leader going to comply with what, comply with the work and the word that they are teaching? And if they are evil or if they are not. That is just a principle that we need to put in place. Why? Because we live in a place on the earth in America, the United States of America, where we have freedom. So many, because they have freedom, they will put up a ministry and call it the gospel, and they work with the word of God. And the Lord did not tell them to do that, but they can do it legally because that is a law which is established in America for religion. So when you mix the two, you can get two different results. You can get a result which is the flesh. That's the natural man. That's the natural phenomenon. So a man or a woman can go to school. They can go to a seminary school. They can go to a seminary school and they can graduate. They can get a degree in theology. But they don't have to be called of Christ. Why? Because we have a law called religion. So we have a big response. We have a great responsibility. I won't say big. I'm going to correct that word. But we have a great responsibility to always, always check the heart and the intent of the thought of the heart for leadership. What is teaching? Teaching is defined as instructions given for living. So you have individuals who they're professional. They graduated from college. They graduated from theology school, but yet they're not qualified to lead us in the gospel. But since we have religion there, we can look at them and think that they are appropriate for teaching holiness. And they're not. So what about the one that mixes the food? When I say food, because I say words can be food for thoughts. So we don't want a righteous person to mix up the teaching. Why? Because teaching is for sound living. Many righteous have mixed the teaching. They can't do it because we have a law in America called religion. We want sound teaching. We want teachings that we can apply to our heart and believe and trust. Teachers and pastors and individuals who was called for the work of the gospel needs to have a place for checking. So we must check the teacher, because the teacher is there to lead us and guide us into the life of righteousness and holiness. So we don't want mixed teaching. We want sound teaching. We don't want the teacher to be evil. We don't want the teacher to be a person who cannot be trusted to teach us what is right. Okay. Intercession. The word intercession is a noun. And it's defined as petitions. That the word intercession is a gift which was given unto Jesus Christ, which is the high priesthood, which is given unto the body of Jesus Christ, in which most believers does not have the gift of intercession in action. Why? Because no one taught that person on behalf of that gift. And what is the procedure? The intercessor is the one that goes out front in Jesus Christ according to the move of Jesus Christ when he speaks to one's heart and give that person a petition to put up a request for another or even themselves. Supplications. This word is a noun. We have some individuals, they go into a level of supplicating, meaning that they are praying, they're putting up prayers. To whom? Jesus Christ. In the authority of Jesus Christ, we go, when we get ready to pray, we pray in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. We also can pray in the authority in the name of our Heavenly Father. And also we can go before the Lord with intercession for pleading, as in a earnest request. All of that is under intercession. The next word is fortitude. Fortitude is a noun, F-O-R-T-I-T-U-D-E, a noun, as in courage. That word is defined as courage. Many don't have courage because no one ever built them and taught them how to be courageous. Propitiation, P-R-O-P-I-T-I-A-T-I-O-N. This word is a noun, and this word is defined as in sacrifice, because Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for whom? The body of Jesus Christ. Atonement is a noun, as in reparation, an act taken in order to redeem the body of Jesus Christ. Okay, so I'm going to move on here, moving forward here. I'm going to start here with Matthew, the 16th chapter, and the 14th verse. So here, Jesus Christ is examining his disciples, meaning his students. He's examining them on behalf of whom do they think he is. Whom do they think he is? Well, parents, I want to use this statement as an example. Parents teach their children whom they are at when. We teach our children who we are early. We teach our children who we are. We teach our children mother and father. Why? Because our children needs to understand how to address us with respect. Our children need to understand how to recognize whom we are, because we need honor and respect on behalf of our position and our authority with our children. So similar, not the same thing, similar. Jesus Christ is speaking to his apostles, the ones that he have taught. He have led them and taught them and demonstrated the power of the word of God on behalf of prophecy for holiness. So he taught them. So now he wants them to confirm to themselves and to him that they know who he is. So if you don't know who a leader is, how do you respect that leader? You can't respect that leader because you don't know who that is. You don't know the intent of their heart. You don't know what kind of work they're doing. You don't know. So if you don't know all of that, then you don't know who that is. So how can you apply that work to your life? Fourteenth verse of the 16th chapter of Matthew. Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Well, Jesus Christ did have the work of prophet. He did have the work of prophet, but Jesus Christ have more authority than the prophet, but he is the prophet. 15 verse, he said unto them, well, whom say ye that I am? So Jesus Christ is speaking here to his following, those who are believing in his works. If we don't believe in the work of a person who say that they are a person with the word of God, well, we can't get the results that is there for us. Neither can we enjoy any of the privileges and promises that is contained in the word of God. Well, I mentioned holiness quite a bit because that is the work that Jesus Christ performed in all four Gospels. So when we're developing, if we go through the process for salvation, that's repentance. That's a repenting process. If we go through that process, then we are going through a change. So the word of God can change us if we receive it and apply it to a practice in which is taught to us. The next foundation is baptism. Baptism is the second process. Baptism, John baptized unto repentance. So when he baptized the people, when he baptized them, That was the second process. The third process is to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost. So when we make those changes, we need teachers and pastors and apostles. We need these individuals so that they can build us, because when we go through that first step, when we go through those first steps, we need those individuals who can build us and whom we believe in, whom we will allow to build us. If we are adults, then we have choices to make. We have decisions to make whether or not are we going to allow these leaders to build us, meaning to elevate us. So when we go through the process of repentance, that means that we went through a process and we repented to Jesus Christ for our sin. Asked him to forgive us for our sin. So once he forgave us, then we need the next process. That's the water process, which is John's baptism, which is baptism. The third process is to receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we make those changes, we need leaders, trustworthy leaders, leaders whom we know not only does the Lord work with them and utilize their work and apply their work to our life, but also can we trust them? Many leaders have proven they cannot be trusted, even though they have been developed in the Lord. So we have a responsibility on behalf of the trustworthiness of the holy leaders. So Jesus is here examining his students. On behalf of whom do they say that he is? So I'm going to read on down a little bit. First 16 verse, 15 verse, I'm going over to 15 verse again. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? The word ye is an old word, which is an ancient word, but today we use that word as you. We define that word as Y-O-U. Whom do you say that I am? That is a very significant question. Who you think I am? That's important, because Jesus Christ have a particular kind of a character. He have a call there. He is anointed, meaning he was called to do a work. So it's important for his following, his apostles, those whom he have been demonstrating the work of the gospel to. 16 verse, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, why did Simon Peter know that he was the Christ? He knew, I'm going to answer that question. He knew that was the person is asking him that question. He knew that was Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is in a place called prophecy. He have studied the word of God. He have walked with him. He knows that this is the person that Moses and all the prophets wrote about. How? He knows because he have a word from Jesus Christ on behalf of a word that was spoken to his heart, and he put that word in practice, and he put that word in action in his thoughts, so he knows who it is. 17 verse, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Which is in heaven where? In heaven, in the word of God. So we can have a place in heaven where? In the spirit of the word of God. In the spirit of the word of Christ, because it's prophecy. 18 verse, and I say also unto thee. So now Jesus Christ is now given another promise. No, not another promise. Excuse me. Jesus Christ has here given a promise to Simon, well, Jonah, Peter. He's given him another, he's given him a work. Thou, it's 18 verse, I'm going to read it all over again. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus Christ is here giving, he's here giving Peter a great work. He's giving him a great work. Why? Because he knows whom he is. He knows who he is, and we must know who leaders are. So he knows who his leader is. It's very important to know whom your leader is. So I want to talk, I would like to go back over the message here, which is healing, the healing virtue of Jesus Christ, which we have authority in the Word of God. Also, I will be teaching on behalf of the keys to the kingdom. That's what I'm doing right now. So Jesus Christ here is giving, he's given his apostle Peter a great responsibility here. He's telling Peter that he's going to build his church. He said, here I'm going to start all over again, 18 verse. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, so Jesus Christ is calling Peter. He have him in a spiritual place. Now, when he said rock, he's talking spiritually. I will build my church, meaning the work that he does to the others that is in front of him. He's an apostle. Then he's going to build them, how? With his word. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, meaning that Peter is completely protected when he began to do the work that is given to him, and he received a word from Jesus Christ. That means that he is safe, and all who is following the work that he is working with. 19 verse, and I will give thee the keys, K-E-Y-S, of the kingdom of heaven. He's now given him some extra substance. When he said keys, he's not talking about physical keys like the keys that we use to unlock our doors to our cars and to our homes. Those are not the kind of keys he's giving him. He's giving him keys, meaning that he is strengthening Peter in such a manner that he is giving him a word that when he speak a word, if he speak a word, I'm going to read this once again, 19 verse, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind, B-I-N-D, that word bind, mean to stop on earth shall be bound in heaven. So if Peter speak a word to a situation or to a person or whatever he speaks, then that word is going to be honored in heaven. It's going to be in place for its proper action. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. These are legal words. So I know many people who made horrible mistakes and use this information. And when they did, they tore themselves down. You know why? Because our Lord Jesus Christ did not prophesy a word to their heart to give them that authority to work with those words. So we need to hear from Jesus Christ to work with those words, which is keys. Now, Jesus Christ is naming these legal words keys. It meaning to allow or disallow, to allow something to happen or to disallow that thing to happen. That is very powerful. So many use the word of God and they tied up everything, tore themselves down. Because why? There was no word from Christ for them to use it. Now, it's okay to use those keys if the Lord speak a word to your heart and give you instructions to work like that. But if he doesn't, then we're not supposed to work like that. Many tore themselves down, I mean, they use some words to tie up something and to lose something, and they got a terrible, terrible results. Why? Because this work was given to Peter and also to those whom the Lord speak to their heart and tell them to work with that particular word, those particular words. So we're not to just use it. We are to wait until our Lord Jesus Christ give us instruction and give us direction to work with that part of his word. So now I'm going to go over here. Healing. Healing is a promise. Healing is a promise. The church is not supposed to be sick. The church is not supposed to be sick. Why? Because Jesus Christ came forth with the gift of healing. So when I say the gift of healing, I mean what I'm saying is that there can be individuals who have that gift in the faith. Many is saying that they have that gift. They have it in places where they have exposure for the media. And they're saying that they have that gift. And they're influencing the people in many ways wrong. Because when you have that gift and the Lord is working with that gift as a person work by faith, when I say by faith, we live by the laws of faith. So when I say we live by the laws of faith, that means that I am saying that when the Lord give me an assignment and give me that gift to work with, when I work with it and Jesus Christ work with that word as I work with it, then individuals who believe in the ministry on my life, I'm just using myself as an example. And if individuals believe that I have that gift by faith because Jesus Christ gave it to me and I work with them, how? By way of prophecy. Prophecy is defined as when Jesus Christ speaks to one's heart and they perform it. Now, prophecy is very important for the church to understand because we have freedom. Many have freedom, but they have no structure. Structure is in place for what? Rules. We don't want the wrong rules over our life or in our life. So when I say it's structure, that means that when Jesus Christ speaks to my heart, I do it. If I don't, then I cannot develop the faith for whatever work is in front of me. It doesn't have to be healing. It could be for any work that the Lord have put forth. But here I am teaching on behalf of healing. Healing. Healing, the healing virtue. We have that privilege. We have that promise. And many say that they have it, but it cannot be proven according to the word of God. Every work must be proven according to what is written in the word of God and according to what is prophesied and spoken. If we reject prophecy, then we cannot enjoy the privileges that is there before us, but we have a right and we have a freedom to make a decision what is right. Also, when we reject prophecy, when we reject prophecy, we can access, we give access to whom? The evil. Why? Because when Jesus Christ speaks, that is a command. That is a command. So we don't want to reject it if we know that it's prophecy. How can we tell that it's prophecy? We can tell that it is prophecy by confirmation. By whom? Jesus Christ. Because why? Because he is holy. So Jesus Christ knows how to speak to each of us. So I'm going to run over here to Mark, the 5th chapter. I'm getting ready to close not too long from now. So I want to talk about the healing virtue. Jesus Christ, he is here working a revival. What is the word revival? How is that defined? The word revival is to make alive or to restore life. So it's important for us to understand every letter. Why? Because we want to live. The Lord have the word there, but often if we don't understand it, we can't get the privilege of that word. We can't. It's like if I tell my child that I'm going to use this statement as a, I'm going to use this statement as a example. If I tell my child to go to school today, and my child decides that they're not going to school, well, what did they do? They resisted a word which was there for their good. It's similar, not the same thing. It's similar when we resist a prophecy. The Lord can speak a prophecy through the heart of a person. How do we know? I know when a person is speaking a word of prophecy to me. You know how I know? Because that word is holy and is confirmable, not by just me, but other judges, meaning other prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Any of those individuals can confirm that that word is not from the flesh, but it is from Christ. Why? Because that word is holy. So I'm getting ready to close here. I'm coming close to closing. So I want to start here at the 5th chapter. If you have your Bible, run over here with me. The 5th chapter of Mark in the 21st through the 33rd verse. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea, meaning he was at the sea. The word nigh is defined as in the place. So Jesus Christ, he was in the place unto the sea, but he was in the ship. 22nd verse. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. So this here is a person. He is an official of the synagogue, but he have a need. His daughter is ill, and he thinks that she is going to die. 23rd verse, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, meaning he requested him, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Why did Jairus, how come he thinks that if he lay his hands on his daughter, that she may live? He knows this. I'm going to answer this question. He have confirmation that Jesus Christ is holy and that he is in prophecy. And he also have heard about the work that he has been performing. 24 verse, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him, meaning that he had quite a few people here now. You know why? Because he is in prophecy, and he is performing a work here called revival. 25 verse, and a certain woman. Now, the message is changing here. 25th verse of the 5th chapter of Mark. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. This woman had an issue. She had a problem with her blood. My mother, she had problem. She had a problem with her blood. She had blood clots in her blood, and the doctors could not find anything to do to resolve this matter. 26th verse, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather she grew worse. So she had a disease going on here, and the doctors could not, with all of their science and with all of their experience, they could not resolve this issue that was in her blood. 27 verse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now she heard of Jesus, but she believed it. Why? Because she had confirmation that Jesus was there and the Holy Ghost was there in Christ's life. And the Holy Ghost is here working with Jesus Christ. So she knew that that was the Christ. Why? Because she had confirmation. We always confirm who is who. So she had confirmation. She heard about it. She had testimony. She had testimony. When she had heard of Jesus came in the press, she had to get in the press because there was quite a few people there believing in Christ. And she touched his garment. 28 verse, but she said, if I may touch but his clothes, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Why? Because he was so anointed. He had an anointing. By whom? By the Holy Spirit and by the Heavenly Father. And all these individuals is confirming that Jesus Christ is the person with the work, whereas she can get a result from heaven. When I say heaven, I'm talking about a place in the Word of God. 29th verse. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. So her problem was plaguing her, because she couldn't get the results that she needed from the doctors. Now, what if she had not been in that service? Had she not been in that service on that particular day, at that particular time, she wouldn't have gotten that healing. But she got that healing because she was in that service. Well, I teach like that because I understand ministry and I understand the gospel in a way where I understand the spirit of miracles. So Jesus Christ have the Holy Spirit in his clothes. That's just how penetrated the spirit of the Holy Spirit was in his clothes. So when she touched his clothes, she received the anointing from his clothes. Why? Because she believed in him. When we don't believe in leaders, we can't get that kind of an effect. But she believed in Christ, so she got that kind of an effect. I'm almost nearing my end or my completion. Almost. 30th verse. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press. He had to turn about in the press because he had many, many people in this service, and said, who touched my clothes? Why? Because he knew that part of his spirit had left his body, which was the anointing for healing, which was a miracle. I do believe in miracles. Why? Because I have experience in the ministry of the gospel. Many don't have that, but I do. 31st verse. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee. In other words, his students, the word disciple is defined as students. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitudes. They had a multitude. That's what happens when a man or a woman is being used of Christ. So here Christ is being used by our Heavenly Father and by the Holy Spirit. And he is mighty powerful because he is in prophecy. He is performing the very work that was given to him by our Heavenly Father. He's chosen, he's anointed, he's in the right place at the right time, and also those who need help. So, Thirty-second verse, and he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. So she was afraid of him because she didn't know she was going to get a healing, but she heard how that Jesus Christ had healed many others, so she thought she would try it. And she got her healing, so her problem was resolved. How? Her problem was resolved because she believed. 34 verse, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So she was healed. She was healed because she was in the right place at the right time, and she received the right testimony. And so now her problem is solved with her health. So I'm going to have to run on here. I'm going to run over here. I'm going over to the book of Proverbs. I'm going to talk about giving. First of all, I want to talk about the nonprofit. The nonprofit work is good, but we want to put it in its proper perspective. When we give into some ministries have nonprofits for nonprofit work for food ministries and clothing ministries or whatever nonprofit that ministry have, that is good, but that is not developed as a blessing. That is developed when if I would contribute my funds to a nonprofit portion in the gospel, well, that's not developing the blessing for the teaching. Teaching is to build us up, to exhort us, to elevate us, and cause us to live if the teacher is right. And if the Lord gave that teaching, that work to that teacher, if that teacher is developed for works in the gospel, and is teaching the people what Jesus Christ has given them to teach, then that work is good. And that work develops what? That work develops blessings. That means that you can grow. If I eat a good meal from the table, and that meal is a nutritional meal, well, I should be able to grow if I'm working, if I'm believing in that word, in that work. So the same for teachings. Teaching is to cause us to grow. If I'm sitting with a teacher, well, I'm expecting to grow. I'm not expecting to just sit with a teacher and I'm not growing. We are to grow when we're sitting with teachers, holy teachers, those who are qualified by Jesus Christ, those who have been installed, those who have been called and anointed by Jesus Christ for the work. If they're doing that work, then I am to grow. So I'm going to get ready to close here. But what I was saying about the nonprofit is if I contribute my funds to a nonprofit, then I'm expected to go to the government at tax season and receive my refund back. So I'm not expecting a blessing. I'm expecting to get my tax refund back because that's what a nonprofit produces. That's the government. So, So that's all we can expect, but we're giving into a nonprofit ministry. That's not to say the Lord is not going to bless us after we help them, but that process does not produce the blessing. What produces the blessing is when the Lord speaks a word to our heart and give us understanding that he spoke it and confirm that he spoke it, then we answer it and we apply our heart to it and comply with that word. That is how we produce a blessing. But when we give it to a nonprofit, that does not produce a blessing. That produces our taxes back at the end of the year. So here I want to run over here to the third chapter of Proverbs, which is the wisdom of Solomon. Forgiving. Ninth verse, third chapter of Proverbs in the ninth verse. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So the writer here is giving us a prophecy here to honor the Lord with our substance. What is our substance? If I go to work 5 days a week and my payday is on a Friday after I work from Monday to Friday, then that's my substance. So what the writer here is encouraging the individuals who believe this word is to honor the Lord with the first fruits. So our first fruits can be whatever our budget allows us to give out, if we believe in that word and that work with that leader that is doing the work. So some individuals, their first part is 10 or 5, or maybe you can't get but $1 out of your budget or $2 out of your budget, but make it the first part of it. Or maybe your first part can be 20 or 10 or 100, whatever your budget allows. The writer is here giving us a word call. It's giving us direction as to how to give. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. 10th verse, so shall, now the writer here is giving us an expectation. So shall thy barns, B-A-R-N-S, be filled with plenty, meaning that that place, barn, is a place in heaven where our substance is going to accumulate and we're going to get a physical, tangible development for the giving that we gave out. We're not just giving it out. So those who give out, I do suggest, I don't tell people what to do as far as controlling their decision, but I do suggest people get businesses, get, you know, or work with your career, you know, and work at whatever it is you're working to develop in the word of God on behalf of your giving. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. That means that a person should have the overflow. You should be able to pay your mortgage, you should have money left over in the bank. Why? Because you are contributing your faith to the word of God. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Plenty meaning you have no lack, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So therefore you should be growing in a way where everything about you is growing in your spirit. You can tell when you're growing by way of the Lord giving you a word. Okay, so I'm going over here. I'm getting ready to close here. I got one more word that I want to talk about here. I'm getting ready to close here. I have one more word I want to give out here. And I will be closing. Also, I want to testify how that the Lord delivered me out of all of the trouble that I had in my life. How the Lord developed me out of a bad divorce. It was very horrific. But the Lord developed me out of it. Also, we are asking all faith partners and all whom believe in the gospel to assist and give a donation according to what you can afford, so we may elevate and spread the word of God around the globe to the highest form on the public media platform, because we do need to have extra resources to pay for those television ministries. And expect the Lord Jesus Christ to increase your resources and substance according to your faith in his word. Luke 6 and the 38th verse. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measures pressed down and pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you met with all it shall be measured to you again. Okay, we're also inviting all to join us for this great upcoming event for Virtuous Men and Women International Ministries Bible Teaching Seminar. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia area, or if you plan to visit the Atlanta, Georgia area, if you are interested in joining us, you may go to the website at www.morningstargmnetwork.com. and click on the itinerary, and there you will find the option to purchase your tickets or ticket. Or you may go to the top of the page and purchase it when you get over there. Also, if you have prayer requests or questions, you may go to the email address at silver, S-I-L-V-E-R, at morningstargmnetwork.com, and we will contact you back as soon as possible. And remember to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all of your soul. And love yourself. And love your neighbor as you do yourself.